The great theologian J.I. Packer once said, "If I were the devil, one of my first aims would be to stop folk from digging into the Bible. How? Well, I would try to distract all clergy from preaching and teaching the Bible." As I read Packer's words, I got to thinking about youth workers. Our primary calling is to lead kids to faithfully follow Jesus, a task that requires us first and foremost to know and teach the Bible. The rising tide of biblical illiteracy and spiritual wandering among our kids is evidence that we should be doing everything in our power to effectively teach the Bible and theology. And it's for that reason that today we're making a big announcement to our youth worker friends. Stick with us to hear all about it on this episode of Youth Culture Matters.
From the Center for Parent Youth Understanding, this is Youth Culture Matters. If you're a parent, youth worker, educator, counselor, grandparent, or anyone else who cares about kids, we're glad you've joined us for this practical, informative, and hope-filled podcast. This is a place where together we talk and think Christianly about the rapidly changing world of today's children, teens, and young adults.
Well, as we sit here today in the CPYU studio, this has been a long day coming. And it's been a long day coming at a couple of levels. On the one hand, I'm in here with Chris Wagner, who handles all of our production and a lot of our research here at CPYU and putting resources up. It's been a long day coming for Chris because as we record today, Chris, what is today?
Today's my 40th birthday.
Yes, happy birthday. I'm glad you showed up. Sometimes people just get so overwhelmed by that they take a day off. So I'm glad you're here. So this has been a long day coming for you, and happy birthday to you. We really appreciate you, and we're glad you're here. But it's also been a long day coming because we have been dreaming, we have been talking, we have been, and a lot of that has come out of lamenting a lot of what's happening in our culture and in the church regarding Bible reading and our interest or disinterest in the Bible, our interest or our disinterest in theology. And I know Chris and I have sat many, many days and just talked about this and the need for, you know, our passion, our desire to see youth workers really immerse themselves in the Scriptures, educate themselves, and know the Scriptures, and then teach out of that passion. I mean, there's nothing that replaces the passion when we teach our kids, when we are fueled by our own study of Scripture and theology. So as we've been talking about this and dreaming about this, one of the resources we thought we might be able to provide is a brand new CPYU podcast that would actually be for youth workers and by youth workers on teaching the Bible and theology to students. We know that sometimes people are timid about doing this. They feel like they don't have a lot of education. Maybe they just don't see it as a great need in youth ministry, which to me is that's a curious and a troubling reality. But we realize, you know, let's contribute to the discussion a little bit. So we're launching this today. And Chris, go ahead and tell everybody what we've settled on for the title of this brand new podcast.
So the new brand new podcast we're launching is called The Word in Youth Ministry. And we're really excited about it. I'm excited to be a part of it. You won't hear my voice, at least you won't hear it often, kind of like you do on this Youth Culture Matters podcast. But I'll be behind the scenes, and I'm excited to introduce our host that we're going to use for this podcast. I'm excited that it's three youth workers who are in the trenches, and we can get to hear their perspective on the best ways to teach the Bible to students. I think it's really exciting.
Yeah, so let me introduce this little lineup we've recruited, and this has been a long time coming as well, as we've really watched and listened. I guess I'm, you know, maybe I'm a youth ministry creeper. I don't know, because I get to know people and I sort of watch and I listen as I've gotten older, just to see where their heart is, where their passion is, how they spend their time, you know, what it is they do to prepare to teach, just a little bit about who they are. And so we settled on three folks who rather, and there are many, many out there, but these are folks we've gotten to know over the last few months and even years. And so I'll introduce them now. I'll let them tell a little bit about themselves. But Kyle Hoffsmith is a friend. He actually has been following CPYU for some time. I'll let him talk about that. But Kyle is going to be our host. He's going to take the lead on this, along with a couple of other co-hosts here who we'll introduce in a couple of minutes. But Kyle, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? And I may have a couple of questions for you, and then I'll actually let you introduce Lynn and Matt.
Yeah, for sure. Walt, well, thanks again for having me on this morning. As Walt said, I've been following CPYU for quite some time. I am the student pastor at Old North Church in Canfield, Ohio, but actually grew up about 30 or 45 minutes from where the CPYU offices are. Or as we refer to, the CPYU studios. So I first became familiar with CPYU when I was a child, when Walt would be on the radio on WJTL, and got to know him through the years. And then several years ago, we had him out here at our church for a seminar, and I've just been becoming more familiar with CPYU as time has come. So Walt, how long have you been doing that short segment for?
That is, we're 17 or 18 years now, I believe. Is that correct, Chris?
Yeah, we're in, I think we're in year 17.
Yeah, and for those who aren't familiar with that, that's actually our best-kept podcast secret, I think, because it began as a one-minute radio spot called Youth Culture Today, and it really is designed to educate, equip, inform, encourage parents and youth workers about whatever is, you know, in that moment happening in today's youth culture. And so it's been running for a long time. It's on hundreds of stations across North America. And Chris engineered it in a way that we could create it as a podcast by subscription as well. So folks can subscribe to that, check in on that wherever they, you know, choose to get their podcasts, or it's on our website at cpyu.org. Thanks for asking that, Kyle, or that question, Kyle, because I knew you just wanted me to give you a number. And I gave you several paragraphs.
Well, I'm pretty sure that means about half. I'm 30 years old, so I bet about 15 years ago is when I first heard of CPYU. So about half my life I've known CPYU, and grateful to be able to contribute now with this The Word in Youth Ministry podcast.
Let me just say something about your age, Kyle. And that would be this, that we've been doing this at CPYU for 32 years. So you were not even born then. That just boggles my mind as I sit and think about this, but it gives me great joy as well, because it, you know, this is in some ways the fruit of our ministry. Obviously, the fruit of your parents' ministry and the youth ministries you've been in, but you know, kind of what to circle back and be here as a part of this is it brings great joy.
That's right. I think the first time we had you in for a seminar was when I was a youth pastor in Pennsylvania, one of my first years as a youth pastor. So it's been fun to follow the ministry over the years and help serve in this way now.
Yeah, it's good that you've been able to watch me age.
That's right. That's right. Well, Walt, I think we should introduce our two other co-hosts for this, Matt and Linda. On our first episode, we talk about the distance and the amount of time it would take to travel between our three churches in Ohio and in Texas and in Florida. And I think because Linda knew the correct time it would take, I think we should start with Linda. Linda, why don't you introduce yourself to those listening today?
Sure. So my name is Linda Oliver. I have been in student ministry for about 11 years now. And I just recently started in a new role. I'm the director of student ministry at Orangewood Church in Maitland, Florida, in the Orlando area. So, yeah, glad to be joining for this podcast.
And Linda, what was that transition like? You were in Georgia before, right?
Yes, I was.
And so what has the transition been like the first few weeks that now you've been in Florida? Have you been able to get to know the students yet?
You know, it's been really crazy. So even last week was just at a youth conference instead of here. And so I literally moved on a Tuesday, started on a Wednesday, met some students that night. I've been seeing students on Wednesdays and Sundays when I've been in town. But there's still so much to learn. And there's a part-time girl here who is actually about to come off staff because she's graduating seminary and moving on. So she's teaching me everything she can before she leaves soon. So that's kind of taken up a lot of my time. But yeah, I'm excited to get to know a lot more of the students and the families, and that's slowly happening as I'm settling in.
Yeah, well, we're so excited to have you here on this podcast, along with me and Matt. Matt, you're in sunny San Antonio, Texas, correct?
Yes, yeah, the real cradle of American liberty down here with the Alamo. Yes, I've been on staff at Redeemer Presbyterian Church for 13 years now, and have been the assistant pastor of children and youth ministry for 3 years. I'm starting to make a transition into some other things, and so we just hired a new youth director, but have a deep passion for youth ministry. Believe it's kind of one of the most important missional areas of the church that we have, and a very big and important side door to the church. So I'm excited to be here.
This is great. Yeah, I'm loving this. And, you know, as I've gotten to know you folks over the last few months and years, your passion for ministry and your thoughtfulness, you know, what you guys defer to is always the Word of God. And as we thought about the title for the podcast, and it was not a momentary decision. It took some time because we wanted to think through, you know, how do we want the title, The Word in Youth Ministry, to express to people what this is about and the need for it. And so Kyle and I think all of us have done this. We've scanned this rapidly growing landscape of youth ministry podcasts. I mean, it just seems like everybody's putting out a podcast. We go, you know, well, why do we need another youth ministry podcast? And by the way, it's so easy to do now, right? All you need is a computer. You don't even need a microphone. You just need the microphone in your computer. You can create a podcast. And there are hundreds of youth ministry podcasts out there. I've listened to a lot of them, not all of them. And some of them are just so excellent and so good. But we realized there was a void. Kyle, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, for sure, Walt. As Walt and I were just scanning the podcast available for youth workers and just reading what other people were writing about all these podcasts, we realized a lot of them were about ministry strategies, which is an important conversation I think all five of us here today need to contribute to, and different strategies on what youth workers should be doing and how they should be doing it. But as Walt and I continued to search and continued to talk, we realized there seemed to be a void when it came to podcasts directly related to teaching the Bible to students. And as we've been talking to many youth workers, we've realized that this isn't only a void in the podcast world. This seems to be at times a void in the youth ministry world, when we sometimes, our default can be just to teach students what to do or what to think about, rather than teaching them the Word of God. And so Walt and I continued, and that's where, when we landed on this name, The Word in Youth Ministry, we just thought the two-letter word in was so important. That it's not the word about youth ministry, although the Bible should inform youth ministry, but it's how the word can be utilized in youth ministry to bring fruit that'll last, not only now, but also in the future.
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, that word in, I'm glad you brought that up, I-N. You just change one letter, change the I to an O, and a lot of podcasts really are the word on youth ministry. And even, you know, I would even go so far as to say it's not the word as the Word of God or the Word of Bible, but actually, you know, here's some good advice. You know, here is some guidance and direction. And I agree with you, Kyle. We definitely need that. But we just thought, you know, let's push this a little bit. And I want to ask the three of you a personal question here. And I'll give you a little bit of time to think about it as I tell a story. Here's the question. The question is, you know, was there a point in your own life, or even it could have been, you know, not just early on in your own life, but after you got involved in ministry, where it was almost like a light bulb came on and you got marching orders, you know, where the Bible, just your commitment to the Scriptures and your commitment to teach the Scriptures as primary. That's the primary task in our ministries, whether it's a pulpit ministry, you know, preaching ministry, youth ministry, children's ministry, campus ministry, parents, you know, parenting, the parenting ministry. Teaching God's Word is just primary. So I'm curious about that. And as you think about that, as we were preparing for today, what came to mind is something that happened in my life almost, probably about 35 years ago now, that was that moment for me. So my history in youth ministry was, I graduated from college, got into campus and high school, middle school ministry, working at a college campus in Western Pennsylvania, but also doing youth ministry in a local church. And, You know, I think my calling to that probably happened with a lot of affirmation because of some of the, you know, just my, I guess my personality and people skills. And I understand the way I say this. What I relied on as I look back in the rearview mirror was my ability to use my personality to connect with kids, to spend time with kids. And you know, I worked hard. In hindsight, it wasn't that hard. But at the time, I thought I was working hard, you know, to teach kids the scriptures. Well, it became abundantly clear to me that if I was to take everything that youth ministry is about and I was to rate in each of those categories and skills, you know, where I was, the great deficiency in my life that it didn't take anybody else to tell me this. I realized this just in evaluating my own ministry was biblical studies, you know, how to understand and teach the Bible, but also theology. And so after several years in local church youth ministry, I figured, you know, I think I have, you know, the skills to communicate, but I'm not doing a good job of communicating that which I've been called to communicate. So I went to Gordon Conwell Seminary, and I didn't take any youth ministry classes while I was there. I was mentored by Dean Borgman, who was iconic in the youth ministry world at the time, and Dean certainly instilled in me a deep desire to do what I'm doing now in terms of studying and exegeting culture. But, you know, one of the things that happened for me as I studied, as I focused on biblical studies and theology, is I felt like I was, you know, filling up my tank to improve my abilities to, when I graduated from seminary, to teach and lead. And so here's what I remember. Not only was I committed to that, and it was grueling and it was hard, but on the day that I graduated, you know, my last name's M, so I was right in the middle of all the graduates that, you know, alphabetically walked up on stage. I could see as each row in front of me was getting up and lining up to go up on the right side, you know, right side of the stage, before they would cross over to shake the hand of the president of the seminary, there was someone standing there at the top of the steps who was shaking everybody's hand, really grabbing their hands hard. I could see it. You know, he's actually putting his right hand in their hand and then covering their right hand with his left hand, you know, kind of clasping it to us. And he would lean in and he would say something. And it wasn't much, but the gentleman was a guy named Dr. Harold Lindzel, who at the time, I believe, was the chairman of the board at Gordon Conwell. So he was like your initial as you step on the stage, your greeting. And I was very curious about, you know, what is he saying? Is he saying this? So I walk up and he grabs my hand before I walk across the stage and he just looks me in the eye and he leans in. And in his gruff voice, this is what he says: "Preach the word." Yeah, I mean, that's what he said: "Preach the word." And I those were marching orders for me. And it took me back to what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy. You know, as Paul was giving his sort of final marching orders to the young Timothy, as Paul's ministry was starting to wind down and the time of his death was approaching, you know, "Preach the word." And I've been drawn to that, you know, so many times. So real quickly, before we take a break, do each of you have a moment like that? I mean, that just keeps coming back to me.
Yeah, thanks for that question, Walt. I've always heard it said, you know, the way that you get a student to come is the way that you keep a student. And so as I think back on just my life, I was converted as a ninth grader. And the way I was converted is I heard the word preached, and I heard a youth pastor whose name is Brian Land. And if you're listening, Brian, thank you again for your ministry. And he preached on the woman at the well. And I remember how passionately he believed that Jesus was truly our living water and that everything in this world cannot satisfy. And really from that moment on, it was like, wow, Jesus has something to offer me in his word that I can't get anywhere else. There is no other place where I can drink from this living water other than at the fountain of God's word. And I think that it's not that those thoughts were ever, you know, fully put together in my mind, of course, as a ninth grader, but from that point on, I think the trajectory began for me and is something that I always look back on. I still remember that sermon very well.
You know what, Matt? I'm going to tell you what's great about that, and that is that, you know, what was it, what was quote unquote attractional to you and what you remember about him is that moment and teaching from God's word and how transformative that was for you. And I think sometimes, you know, we wonder if that can actually happen just with God's word and without all the other bells and whistles we put on it. None of us here are opposed to, you know, fun and doing, you know, great things with kids. Every moment in youth ministry doesn't have to be about Bible study, but just the fact that you remembered that, that's your memory, is really significant. I'm wondering about Linda.
Yeah, I would say the way I remember it is, first of all, I grew up in a non-Christian family. And I remember after I became a believer around eighth grade, just being really hungry to learn stuff. I think that there was a sense in which I felt like I needed to catch up with what everybody else knew. And so I was just reading a lot about the Bible and Christian books and stuff like that. And so somewhere along the way in college, there ended up being, I think, three different pastor authors who became really influential in my life in kind of succession. And the middle of those three was a guy who I just would say super majored in the word and helped me understand how to study the scriptures, why the scriptures needed to be central in everything we did. And that really showed me that the scriptures are so life-giving, that there's so many depths for us to plunge in the scriptures and to give to others. And I even remember when I was a summer intern in a youth ministry between my junior and senior year of college, that there was this opportunity I had alongside the other summer interns to kind of give the students like a closing exhortation for the summer. And I basically said to them, like, hey, I don't really have anything like that you need to remember other than like, you just need to be in the word, because the word will tell you like everything you need to know. And so I think that it had really been impressed upon me by that time.
Do you remember who that was, that pastor who wrote that book?
Yeah. So that pastor that really kind of influenced me in that way was David Platt.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Kyle.
Yeah, for me, when I was in college, I was helping lead a student ministry on our campus where it was an intergenerational church meeting on our college campus. And I wanted to be a Bible guy, right? I wanted to teach the Bible. But it was during my senior year, I went to a conference on expositional preaching. And I realized that there's a lot of people who want to be Bible guys or Bible girls. We want to teach the Bible. But if we don't teach what the Bible's teaching, we're missing the mark. And that's where I remember one Sunday I was preparing a sermon to teach to the college students. And I picked something Jesus said in the Gospels, I think maybe Luke 12, talking about anxiety. And I was like, I'm going to give a sermon on anxiety. And I realized that what Luke 12 was, or whatever the passage was talking about, the main point wasn't anxiety. And I just realized that as we want to teach the Bible to other people, we need to teach the Bible with the Bible's actual intent, right? And so that's what really makes me excited, back to your point, Walt, about just preaching the word. We have a generation of students that are growing up in youth ministries that many of them are being given good advice. Some of them are being taught the Bible correctly, and others are being taught the Bible just like we all do at times, where we're missing the point of what the Bible is actually teaching. And so that was just one moment for me as a senior in college, realizing we need to not just open the Bible and explain it, but we need to explain what it actually means.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Good. Yeah, I said, you know, you're talking about that sermon from Luke on anxiety. It's like every now and then on one of the youth ministry forums, you see, you know, a question pops up like, hey, I've got this great story. Here it is. Can somebody give me a Bible verse that illustrates it?
That's right, because we read our experience into the Bible, and that's what I think a lot of youth ministries are unfortunately doing, and I think we can all fall into the trap. I know I can fall into the trap of reading my experience into the Bible rather than letting the Word of God set the agenda for what we're teaching students, and that's what gets me real excited about this podcast.
Yeah, well, this is great, and I know people, I hope and trust, are getting excited. I'm excited to hear the first one as well, and we're talking with Kyle Hoffsmith, Linda Oliver, and Matt Behem, and we're talking about this brand new podcast that's coming out from CPYU, The Word in Youth Ministry, a podcast by youth workers for youth workers about teaching the Bible and theology. Stick with us. We'll continue our conversation after this break. Youth workers, are you looking for ways to continue your ministry to parents during these difficult days where parent ministry is more necessary than ever before? Would you like to bring CPYU to your church in spite of COVID-induced limitations on travel and gatherings? I would love to come to your church in a personal, live, real-time virtual format. We are now offering several different one-hour seminar options, including Q&A, that you can now book at a time that is most convenient for you and your parent group. Participants can join as they gather in one place together or from their own homes. You can learn more about these seminar options by visiting our website at cpyu.org and clicking on the link for the Virtual Parent Seminars. Remember, to learn more and to book a CPYU Virtual Parent Seminar, go to cpyu.org. Well, welcome back, everybody, to Youth Culture Matters. We are talking with Kyle Hopsmith, Linda Oliver, Matt Behem, who are, this is a great trio that is handling a brand new podcast that we're doing here at CPYU by youth workers for youth workers called The Word in Youth Ministry. And we're getting y'all ready for the pilot episode of that, which is going to drop very, very soon. We'll let you know about that. Track with us and watch the website, cpyu.org. And these are folks, you know, the beauty of this is these are folks who are in the trenches with the rest of you who are youth workers. And they're not, this is not necessarily teaching at you, but it is learning with you as they are learning together as youth workers how to fulfill this high calling and this high privilege and the primary responsibility we have to equip students for life by pointing them to God's Word, teaching them God's Word, and even that dirty word that we have in the church. So many think it's dirty, doctrine, you know, theology, which we could talk about that. I'm sure that's a topic you're going to hit in the podcast at some point. We're going to talk a little bit later about some of that. But just a couple of things to think about, you know, why is this so urgent for me? This summer I turned 65, and I'm not trumpeting that a whole lot, but I'll admit that there. It's a little bit of a shocker for me. And, you know, when you get to that age, there are a lot of miles in the rearview mirror. So when you look in the rearview mirror, you look back. And I've seen over the course of that time, not just things that are trending in the church, sometimes usually downward, I think. There's a lot to lament, but things that are trending that give me pause for concern in our world of youth ministry. And look, early on, there's so many things that those of us who are doing youth ministry in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s that we have had to ask, we've had to confess and ask forgiveness for, where we've gotten our priorities wrong. But I think through that, you know, we've learned. And so when I listen and I look at the youth ministry world, one of my great concerns these days is that we're moving away from the Bible. And there are a couple of situations that I remember, conversations I was involved in. One was a moment where youth workers had gathered to talk about, you know, how do we engage with and minister to and love and guide and nurture students who would include themselves in the LGBTQ community. And part of what was given to them as instruction right out of the gate was, you know, that most youth workers, when it comes to this, don't want to know what to believe. They want to know what to do. And that disturbed me at a couple of levels. One is it disturbed me first because it's actually true. I've seen that to be the case. You know, don't tell me what to believe. Tell me what to do. But it disturbed me as well because this was what they were being led into believing was most important or should be prioritized, you know, the praxis rather than, you know, the beliefs. And we you know, behaviors and praxis, it's just always downstream from beliefs. And I think we need to work very hard to get our beliefs right. And certainly for the Christian, it's the Word of God and the Word of God rightly understood, interpreted, and applied to all of life. Another Another situation I had was a conversation with a major player in the youth ministry world who, you know, said, I just don't have time for theology, and was basically saying, I need to help youth workers do what they're called to do. And I'm wondering, well, what is it actually you believe they're called to do? And, you know, theology is behind everything. I read this great quote from James Boyce. I love his devotional, Come to the Waters. And listen to this. It says, the way Jesus specifically rules his people within his church is by the teaching of the scriptures. It is there that we learn what he would have us do and what he would have us be. We cannot claim to be ruled by Jesus Christ unless we know what he has told us to do in the Bible and are doing it. And yeah, I collect these quotes because for me, they're formative for me and they remind me. So, you know, that's what's trending. And Kyle, you've got some information there. You pulled a book off your shelf, which, by the way, not everyone can see you. We can see you. And while you were on vacation and away for a couple of days, somebody came into your office. I see all your books behind you, and instead of keeping them categorized, as you have them organized.
That's right. I came back in my office today, and our middle school pastor and student ministry coordinator have turned my bookshelves into a rainbow.
Yeah, it's a spectrum. So everything's like, it's like when you go into the Home Depot and you look at the paint colors. It's
yes,
just, you know,
that's right. And that's why I better remember what color books are, or else I won't know where they're at.
It's killing you today, isn't it? I mean, just for a guy who loves to read, that just messes you up. Yeah. But tell us, Kyle, about some of the research you found.
Yeah. Barna did some research several years ago. I'd recommend it. They put it in a book called The Bible in America, The Changing Landscape of Bible Perceptions and Engagement. And I think it's helpful just to know, although statistics, we could argue how accurate they are, I think it's helpful to know generally where people are at. And one of their segments is how younger generations engage the Bible. And I think it's interesting to see, it breaks it down into five different generations, elders, boomers, Gen Xers, millennials, and then all teens. And some of their statistics point to the fact that the percentage of Americans who open the Bible more than once a week, so several times to every day, for teens, it's just 16%. 16% of teen Americans open the Bible more than once a week. And the interesting thing here when we look at these statistics is as we work up, that percentage grows per generation. So teens who open the Bible more than once a week is 16%, millennials, 19%, Gen Xers, 25%, boomers, 32%, and then it says all elders, which would be anyone over 75, 40%. And as we interpret this data, I think it's interesting that the younger we get, the less Bible engagement we have. And this is just pointing to the fact that we need youth ministries to be founded in the Word of God so that hopefully we can see that trend turn upward.
Yeah, I really think that will transform not just individuals, but the church moving forward, and then ultimately our world and our culture. Let me ask this. And a couple of you, Matt, you alluded to a saying. You said it differently than I've heard it over the years, but it's the same exact thing. You know, where we're told, and I think wisely, that what we win them with is what we win them to. What we win them with in youth ministry is what we win them to. And I know my buddy Duffy Robbins was the first one I heard say that years and years and years ago. And, you know, he was talking about pizza. You know, if the kids are only coming for the pizza, you're winning them with pizza and you're winning them to pizza. And I heard a podcast just last week where a couple of guys were talking about attractional youth ministry. And one of them said, you know, over his 15 years of youth ministry, looking back, with all the attractional things that they did, he said to his co-host, you know what percentage of kids who showed up for those attractional things are with us and walking with the Lord today? And he said 0%. And look, there's nothing wrong with those things. I you know, but that's not the ultimate thing. We use those things to serve the greater purpose of pointing kids to Christ. And so the question I have, I think sometimes we just truly believe that unless we use those add-ons in our ministry, God's word is not enough. It's not attractional enough. Can you respond to that, any of you? I don't care who tackles that, maybe all of you, but you know, maybe what I'm asking is the Word of God attractional?
Yeah, I think I'd say that one of the ways I look at it is what are we feeding our students? Do we want to feed them a McDonald's hamburger or a really great steak? You know, I'm one of those weirdos who I really like just grass-fed steak or red meat, whatever. And I know that like a lot of people don't really care the difference, but I can taste the difference because I've gotten used to the taste of grass-fed versus conventional beef or whatever. And I think that's one of those things that students do not realize the difference in, oh, let me just give you fun and like a 3-minute self-help talk versus let me give you what's actually really great and life-giving and will sustain your soul and give you wisdom for life. And when they learn to develop a taste for that better thing, then they will want to come back. I think if we're only giving them the cheap stuff, they'll eventually see that, because the more and more you eat, I guess to continue the analogy, the more and more you eat bad quality food, the more and more your body kind of ends up paying for it. And I think the more and more we feed them low quality stuff in youth ministry, the more and more their soul feels that.
Linda, and what a good illustration to these statistics I shared a few minutes ago, that one way we can turn the trend around to get more teenagers in the Bible, not only today, but for the rest of their lives, is to teach them that this is the good stuff. This is what you want to eat. There's a lot of voices in the world, a lot of voices that can be helpful in the world, but there's only one voice that is the living Word of God, and He's revealed Himself in the Scriptures. Matt, how have you seen this played out in your youth ministry?
Wow, yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I love that analogy. You know, I remember the Disney Pixar movie Inside Out, where disgust inside the brain when Riley's being fed broccoli. And I think that our just immediate reaction to just kind of the Word of God is most people are like, oh, like that's not that fun, you know? And I'm okay owning that a little bit. And I think it's okay. I think it's actually important that as youth leaders, we own the fact that at first glance, this is not going to be quite as fun, quote unquote, as maybe giving the kids sugar, you know, but this is really good and healthy for you. And it's okay to say, you know, we're gonna have an uphill battle here to help you to really love the good stuff. And I think, yeah, that's just really important because we want to help students, right? So we care about them. We want to give them something that's going to feed them. And we don't want them to turn away in disgust from the food that we're giving them. And so we're going to try to kind of meet them in their anxiety or give them kind of the therapeutic answer. But really what we're called to give our students is Jesus. And as they feed on Jesus, the living bread, like I am bread, he says in John 6, as they feed on the living bread, they're going to be actually sustained and nourished for the long term.
I think there's a great responsibility if we go back to what Linda was saying and, you know, talking about the meat, that we don't just put the steak down in front of them. There's a responsibility on our part. And this goes back to what you said, Matt, about owning it. There's a responsibility on our part as caretakers of the meat, as, you know, the preparers of the meat, to prepare it well, to put the time in to do the study and to put the time in to, you know, think and pray through what we're going to communicate and how we're going to communicate that. You know, I'll just tell you, you know, my experience when I went to seminary, and, you know, as I said earlier, I went ready to focus, knowing it was going to be grueling, and I was scared of it, all right? Biblical studies, theology, Greek, and Hebrew. You know, a lot of people, I hear it in youth ministry, like, you know, what a waste of time. You need to be out there with kids. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. You know, education is not helpful. And I've heard leaders in the youth ministry world demean higher education and graduate education and being self-taught, that kind of thing. But I will tell you this, when I would sit with books open in front of me and I'm reading Greek or I'm reading Hebrew, it was like a blind person suddenly had their vision corrected and the scriptures were bursting with color. And to this day, and I tell my kids this, that the more you open it, the deeper you'll the deeper you'll realize the truths of God's word go. And every day when you open it, it's like a treasure chest that is just endless. But, you know, simple things like even doing a study on one word that just brings that word to life, because in the English language, it totally lacks meaning and nuance. But in the original languages, Greek and Hebrew, we're not saying you have to learn those languages. There are tools out there that can help you with that, but it just feeds your soul. Thinking about feeding our souls, can you talk, each of you, about your own souls and the role that Scripture has played? You know, have there been moments, you know, life sometimes, it's like a rolling sea. You know, you're on upswing, you're in a downswing. We didn't talk about this question beforehand, but, you know, how have you fueled your passion to teach the Scriptures? And have there been moments where your passion has diminished? And if so, what, as you look back, caused the diminishment of your passion? What has fed it? What has, you know, kind of squashed it?
What comes to mind for me with that question is just looking back at times when I have personally carved out time in my own life to study the Scriptures in depth just for myself. It's so important, I think, for me to have times where I'm not studying the Word in order to teach it to youth. I'm just studying it for myself. I especially remember a time, this was probably about 10 years ago, that I decided I was going to study the book of Judges. And I used Dale Ralph Davis's commentary on that. And man, things I did not know about that book that just so opened up the Lord's character and different things. Like, that was so life-giving to me. And I honestly look back on it as one of those things that gets me so excited. The Judges has become one of my favorite books because of that. And I've loved to teach it to students. And it's all because I took the time to study it just for myself first.
Now, I need to tell everybody, as Linda was telling that story, because we can see each other, you those of you who are listening cannot. As soon as she mentioned that commentary and that author, Matt just lit up. And he got a big smile on his face, and he disappeared from in front of his camera, went to his bookshelf and brought it back and was showing us this book and just nodding his head yes. And to me, that says everything about the kind of passion we want to have, because that our kids will catch that. You know, if we're just outsourcing all of our teaching and we're teaching someone else's stuff, which, you know, those things are helpful, obviously. But if that's all we're relying on, that, you know, an hour before we meet with our kids, we download a PowerPoint, you know, show and a script, and we're teaching something that's just sort of, you know, off of a script and kind of rote as we read it, you know, I just there's no passion for me in that. And once you experience the passion, that's great. Yeah, Matt, you need to go next on this one, because you got that.
Just to offer some fun, just a funny kind of levity to this, is that probably at around the same time, about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more, I was reading the same commentary that I went and picked out, and just got really excited about Judges too, and got so excited that I decided I was going to create limericks for each one of the judges of Israel. And so for instance, I just like pulled this up from like 10 years ago. And these are terrible, but it's just really funny to look back, because that's how excited I got. There once was a man named Samson. His long Bible hair was so handsome. Delilah he loved, she had him ungloved and bound him and held him for ransom. There you go.
Insert golf claps here.
Yeah. I am speechless. That was awesome. Amen. And what a creative way to teach the Bible. And so I guess we'll be ready for an upcoming episode on Bible limericks, right, Matt? You're going to take the lead on that and tell us how to teach.
Yeah, and the haikus as well. We'll really get into all the different kinds of English sonnets and stuff.
And I got to mention, you know, one of my dearest friends in all of life, Duffy Robbins, what you just did reminds me so much of Duffy, and just a creative way. Brilliant guy who loves the Scriptures and has gone deep you know, educated, and he'll come out with stuff like that, and it's just the best. Yeah, it really is good. Kyle, did you want to respond?
Yeah, I think one of the times where I realized how important it was for us to be not only committed to teaching the scriptures, but committed moving forward teaching the scriptures was several years ago. I was teaching through the beginning of Genesis, from Genesis 1:1 to the flood. And I got to the chapter, which is almost all genealogy, right? This is the father of this, is the father of it. And that night at youth group, that's what I taught on, right? And I joked around that we were probably one of the only youth groups in the country that was looking at Genesis 5 that night. But I wanted the students to understand that if something is in the Bible, it's worth us studying and it's worth us thinking about. And I think that that passion of just going through the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, is something that not only is taught, but it's also caught by the students. And I think, as Linda mentioned earlier, we need to help students know this at a younger age, so that then when they're adults, then when they're several generations older, they know, no, we're not getting to Genesis 5. Let's skip to Genesis 6 to where there's more action. But let's let the Bible, as we mentioned earlier, let's let the Bible set the agenda for what we're doing.
Yeah, everything that's in there is in there for a reason. And that's, you know, so important for us to remember. You know, I'm thinking a couple of thoughts here before we take a break. A lot of research has come out recently, brain research on the, you know, the integration of our physical selves with our spiritual selves and our emotional selves, and how the kinds of things that we choose to engage our brains and our bodies in are deeply interwoven. And, you know, our habits form us. Jamie Smith has written books on this. You know, The One You Are, What You Love, I think, is one. We had him on a podcast earlier to talk about that. So our habits, just to go back to what Linda was saying, you know, once you stop eating the McDonald's hamburger and you start eating the steak, something's going to happen. You're going to desire steak more, and something nutritionally is going to happen for you as well. And it's the same with our Bible reading habits, not just the frequency with which we do this, but how we engage with this and the depth at which we go, increasingly, I hope, over the course of time. So, you know, good habits will form us. Bad habits will, I truly believe, you know, deform us. And even just no habits at all, you know, the habit of not having habits when it comes to reading the Bible deforms us as well. And here's the problem. I mean, obviously, we see what the problem is with that when we talk about discipleship and spiritual growth. But even more than that, When we fail to recognize that every human being we encounter, including our own selves, when we fail to recognize that every human being we encounter is a spiritual being who was made for a relationship with God, which has been broken and only can be restored through the life, death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know, putting our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, if that doesn't happen, we still are, to use the term, hungry for heaven. Or we have, as Blaise Pascal said, that God-shaped vacuum that is inside of us all. And all of your kids, what this means is all of your kids are quote-unquote religious. They're all spiritual beings. They're worshiping something. And there's a book I read this last year that just blew me away. Tara Isabella Burton is a journalist, and she's educated in theology, and she wrote a book called Strange Rites. And I think the subtitle was New Religions for a Godless World. And she was basically saying, you know, with as she was reporting on all these different things that kids are believing in now, that A, all of us are spiritual beings, and we will worship something. And the default setting that's actually celebrated now in our culture and our kids are embracing is make up your own religion. And she calls this intuitional faith. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing book to read. I don't know where she's at, you know, in her own faith journey, but you will read it as a youth worker and you'll just be going, oh yeah, oh yeah, I see. It's kind of like Christian Smith's Soul Searching a couple of decades ago, where, you know, they come up with this term moralistic therapeutic deism. And the first time I read that, I thought, oh my gosh, that's what we've been seeing. That's what we've been talking about for so long. And this takes it to a new level. So this is why this new podcast, The Word in Youth Ministry, is going to be so important. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to hear from these three about what they have planned for this podcast in the future. So stay tuned.
If you enjoy listening to Youth Culture Matters and would like to support the ongoing efforts of this ministry, you can do so by visiting cpyu.org/giving to make a donation. Your prayers and financial support make this podcast possible.
Well, if you know me, you know that many times I mention that I love listening to and reading and hearing from dead people. And I'm not talking about in some weird paranormal way, you know, that's on a reality TV show, but actually reading from the great history of Christian thinkers and godly people who have gone before us. And one of the guys that I love to read is a theologian who passed away, I think sometime during the last couple of years, I can't remember exactly, but J.I. Packer, who he wrote a classic book that back in the 1970s and the 80s was just being devoured by Christians, called Knowing God. It was an excellent, excellent book that I recommend. And one of my companions this year, I have some morning companions. I listen to James Boyce, read a devotional from James Boyce. He passed away back, I think, in 2000. Great preacher and Bible scholar. I'm listening to C.S. Lewis, who, if you haven't heard of him, shame on you. You need to read his stuff. And then G.K. Chesterton, who was just a brilliant guy, you know, back around the early 1900s, was doing a lot of writing. And then also J.I. Packer. And the devotional that I'm using from Packer this year that I highly recommend, someone I quoted it, and someone said, hey, what devotional is that from? That was just this morning. I had to tell them on Facebook. But it's called In God's Presence, Daily Devotions with J.I. Packer. And they're just meaty and brief, but meaty. I don't even know if you can still get this book or not. It was an older copy I had on my shelf. But a couple of days ago, he was writing about the Bible. And Romans 15:4, he quotes here, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. By the way, that's a great prompt for this particular podcast we're going to be doing, The Word in Youth Ministry. That by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. And let me just read this to you. He says, how may we get the most from the Bible? First, we must value it properly. Psalmists, prophets, and apostles testify that we need the Word of God as, now listen to this, and this is for our students, right? I thought of these three things as we were thinking about this new podcast. Light for guidance, food for growth, and a sword for battle. And, man, that just really hit me and struck me personally about the importance of, for me, Bible study and how your passion grows out of that. So the new podcast, The Word in Youth Ministry, that Kyle, Linda, and Matt are going to be launching here just very, very shortly, is one that I'm looking forward to listening to, and I know it's really going to fill a void for youth workers. Kyle, would you, I want the three of you, Kyle, I'm going to ask you to start and just talk about what people can expect as they listen to this.
Yeah, as we're thinking about we talked about this earlier, the word in youth ministry, I think it's important as we talk about what is going to be on this podcast to talk about who our targeted audience is. And our audience is anyone who works with youth. So whether that's paid or unpaid, student ministry volunteer teams, we want to resource you, equip you, so that we can all continue to get better at teaching the Bible to students. And so one of the goals of this podcast is to be really practical, to talk practically, how can we teach the Bible to students in a way that not only helps them now, but also in the future. And so as we think about what these practical topics are going to look like, Matt, why don't you start us off and talk about a few of the things we're hoping to cover?
Yeah, we're really excited. I mean, we believe that the word of God, every single word of the God, comes to us from his very mouth, that it's breathed out by God. But that doesn't mean that every single part of the Bible is quite so clear or easy to understand. We know that the most important things, that Jesus came for us, died and rose again for our salvation, are clear in the Bible, but there are a lot of difficult passages. And so we're really excited to engage with our youth workers in something we call hermeneutics, or the interpretation of Scripture. How do I look at Scripture and get out of it what God wants me to get out of it? And so we'll deal with different genres, different ways of reading poetry versus history. We'll think about how we should see Jesus in the passage. Does this passage point to Jesus in our need for him, or in his absence in this passage? And we're going to talk about those hard things that our students are going to talk about. So I'm sure all of our students kind of, okay, yeah, like, we're supposed to follow God's law, but what about different kinds of cloth in your clothing? Like, how do I deal with the Old Testament law and things like that? And so we're excited to jump into difficult passages, different genres, difficult interpretations. That should be really fun for us.
I'm going to interrupt you there and just say, you know, a lot of people get overwhelmed when I hear that word hermeneutics. By the way, hermeneutics, that's not Kyle's uncle. But hermeneutics is just a science of interpretation and the way that we approach and interpret the Scriptures. And we can either have a good hermeneutic or a bad hermeneutic. And there's actually, sweeping through the church, some new hermeneutics that really undermine the truths of God's Word. We had Elisa Childers on the podcast, and she's a book called Another Gospel. And this is what happens. And we get swept up in that, and we constantly have to be checking how we do that. So I'm looking forward to hearing you folks, steer and direct us into how to embrace a proper hermeneutic as we approach God's Word.
Linda, do you want to share a few of the other ideas we have?
Sure. So we'll also get to lean, I would say, on the wisdom of others in this podcast. So we will have some interviews, likely with different authors, different youth workers, and kind of whatever their expertise or whatever they've written on might be, we'll bring that to you in an interview form. We also will look at some different resources and recommend some resources to you all that should hopefully be really helpful and practical. They could be resources that are particular to the time of year, maybe events or holidays going on, or other just kind of topical things that we'll cover in the podcast. So we'll get to, just kind of pass those things on to you all in the wisdom of others in that way.
And as we continue doing this, I'm just excited for us to learn from each other, the three of us, but also share with others practical things that seem to be working, that God seems to be using in our own ministries. Like, Matt, I don't know if you want to share briefly about how you teach theology to your students by reading. What do you call the group that you guys read?
Yeah, it's called Young Theologians. And that might sound really scary, but we don't require any prep work for our students. We just get together on a Thursday night, and I have a book that we have. I've bought books for everybody. And so we just read slowly through passages, and I kind of help explain. So our first book ever was The Reason for God by Tim Keller, which is an apologetics book, kind of talking about how we can believe the truths of the Scripture. And it's been really fun. I mean, it's a reminder that our students are not, they're smart enough to kind of like start to understand and grow. We think that if we treat a student as if they could grasp the truth of the Scripture, then they actually will start grasping that truth. If we treat a student as if they can't grasp the truths of the Scripture, then they won't. They won't live, they're gonna live into your expectations for them. And so that's why we think it's really important to do.
So it's going to be so fun for us just to hear what each of us are doing in our current context and figure out how to translate that, and hopefully have our listeners be able to experiment with some of this stuff too, to continue to see more and more teenagers handling the Word of God, realizing we don't need to wait till we're adults to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God. But the sooner we can do that, the more change we're going to see. So, Walt, we're super excited about this.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you folks are on board with this. I, you know, as you were just talking there, the three of you, I thought to myself that one of the great and most grave errors we make in youth ministry is that we shoot way too low. And we underestimate the cognitive abilities of our kids that, you know, if we just would start to incrementally set the bar higher, I think we would all be really, really surprised at, you know, what they're capable of and the conversations. Matt, your young theologians group, you know, I'm sure they come out, as adults do, with some crazy stuff, and they come out probably with some just brilliant insights. And but overall, the fact that they're able to grow in the midst of that is just a great and a wonderful thing. So, and I'm hoping, I'll throw this in, you know, I'm hoping that our assistance with you three here would allow us to grab some resources that you talk about and get copies of those and have some giveaways and things for people as they, you know, as they listen. We really want to walk alongside people and equip and resource people as well. So, well, Chris and I will be working here to try to scavenge some of that from some of the publishers that are out there who would be willing to give us a hand with that. So, Kyle, I think that, you know, once this podcast gets kicked off, and I'm going to turn it over to Chris in a minute just to hear what the plans are, you know, for the launch of it. There is going to be an email address, and it will be interactive where people can ask questions and offer insights and share resources and things. Do you want to share what that email address is?
That's right. Any listener can send us an email at thewordinym@cpyu.org. So this is the Word in Youth Ministry podcast. So thewordinym@cpyu.org. And we're excited to be able to hear from listeners, to be able to even have suggested topics and conversations. And Walt, like you just said, hopefully get some resources into the hands of youth workers so that we can all continue to grow together.
Yeah. Boy, you know, as I listen to you, all three of you, your passion excites me. And I think it's contagious and it's going to be fun to watch how your passion spreads through our youth ministry world. So thanks for, you know, working to fulfill this great need, not just in your local churches where you serve, but now with each other as you've teamed up to help us help youth workers. So thanks. We look forward to it. All right. So Kyle, Matt, and Linda, thank you for joining us today. Let me turn it over to Chris quickly.
Sure. If everyone, of course, you want to know how to listen to the Word in Youth Ministry podcast. So you will be able to go to cpyu.org. You'll be able to find the Word in Youth Ministry on our homepage. We'll have links set up for you to listen to if you are listening to this podcast today about our announcement of the Word in Youth Ministry podcast. Then that means the first pilot episode is launched and currently available. We'll basically be launching the pilot episode of the Word in Youth Ministry the same time that this episode that you're listening to right now will be released. So head on over to cpyu.org. Look for it's got a new logo. There will be links on the homepage. And once you find it, once you listen to it, of course, on whatever podcast platform that you use, you can, of course, search for the Word in Youth Ministry on whatever podcast platform you use. Subscribe to it. That's going to be the best way for you to stay informed of when new episodes are released. But if you're listening to this episode today, go check out the very first episode of the Word in Youth Ministry.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. And I'll say this, that, you know, if you were listening to us today while you were running or walking or riding your bike or driving, keep going around the block, keep going around the track, keep walking through the neighborhood, keep riding, and just flip over to the next, you know, to the first episode of the Word in Youth Ministry and keep listening. So thanks so much, everybody, for joining us, and we will chat with you the next time on the next episode of Youth Culture Matters.
Thanks for joining us for Youth Culture Matters, a podcast from the Center for Parent-Youth Understanding. If you'd like to learn more about today's youth culture, visit our website at cpyu.org. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, email us at podcast@cpyu.org.